Hi, you're listening to a message from Forward Church. We hope this message will inspire and empower you to move forward.
Today I want to share with you a message out of the book of Genesis chapter 26 and verse 24. Genesis chapter 26 and beginning in verse 24. That night the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you, and I will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. Isaac built an altar there, and he called on the name of the Lord. There he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug a well. Meanwhile, Abimelech had come to him from Gerar, and Ahuzath, his personal advisor, and Phicol, the commander of his forces. Isaac asked him, he said, why have you come to me since you were hostile to me before and you sent me away earlier? And they answered, we saw clearly that the Lord was with you. So we said, there ought to be a sworn agreement between us and you. Let us make a treaty with you. Before we dive into this word today, can I pray for you? Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for your word. We thank you that there's life in your word. And I thank you, Lord God, for everybody who's watching this, Lord God. Your word tells us that where two or three come together and agree, Lord, there you are. And we agree upon your word today. I pray, Lord God, that your word would penetrate hearts, speak into every life. We declare that moved by your spirit in Jesus' powerful name. And everybody said, amen. Wonderful. This is an incredibly powerful passage of scripture revolving around the life of a great man named Isaac. Isaac was the promised child of his mum Abraham and Sarah. Isaac, when the Lord turned up in Abraham and Sarah's life, it looked like it was impossible for Abraham and Sarah to have a child. And so the Lord turned up to Abraham and Sarah and said, this time next year you're going to have a child. And Sarah was so overwhelmed with that and really just kind of thought, that's such a ridiculous thought because it's impossible for me to have a child. And so she actually laughed. She went, ha, ha, ha. And she was laughing because it was so ridiculous. But then, of course, 9 months later, Isaac was born. I want you to know that no matter how impossible the situation may seem, when God speaks a word, his word always comes to pass, even when it seems ridiculous. And on the heel of that word, spoken word, Isaac was born. Sarah named her son and Abraham named her son Isaac. Isaac means laughter. So Isaac was born as a product of the word of God, a word of God, and out of that laughter. In other words, out of that joy, the joy of an answered word from God. So Isaac is here, and as he's in the middle of the situation, Isaac is actually in a famine. Isaac, right now in this passage of scripture, he's in a famine. The whole land is in a famine. And then while he's in the middle of a famine, things aren't going great. Things all around him are looking challenging. The word of the Lord comes in verse 26. And the Lord says to Isaac, he says, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid. I want somebody to hear today that God, the God of Abraham, is right there with you. And whatever you do, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid because God is with you. He goes on and says, and I will bless you. And I will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. In other words, God is saying that he's watching over his word to ensure that his word comes to pass. So I want to encourage somebody today that the word that God spoke to you last year, the word God spoke to you last month, the word that God gave to you last week is still the same word that will come to pass. That God's word will always come to pass. God watches over his word. Maybe the situation looks different. Maybe there are challenges all around us. But I want you to know that heaven and earth might pass away, but God's word will never pass away. And so then Isaac, on the heels of hearing that word from God, he does three incredibly powerful things, and these three things actually propel him out of famine and into blessing. The title of my message today, I want you to write this down. The title of my message today is Keys to Coming Out of Famine. Keys to Coming Out of Famine. There are three things that we learn from Isaac that literally launched him out from where he was to where God was calling him to be. And there are three things that I want to give you today. When it comes to, you know, being in the middle of whatever challenge you might be in, but to help propel you forward in the name of Jesus. There are three keys. And the first thing that Isaac does in verse 25 is that Isaac, upon hearing the word of the Lord, he built an altar. If there was ever anything that I believe we could do to really reset, to reprioritize what is happening right now, many of us, through circumstance, are forced to come into a period of rest and a period of stillness. Well, what an incredible opportunity for us to build an altar. Isaac built an altar. See, oftentimes we leave God, you know, to get the leftover. But imagine if we could put God first. Imagine what would happen if we could build an altar right now in our homes, right now wherever you're watching from. Imagine what would happen if we could take God and put him at the beginning of our day and make it a priority to encounter him. Maybe gather our children together and together worship him and lift up his name together. Isaac built an altar. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, and this has been my life passage. It is a passage that has guided my life all the days of my life. In Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I want you to know powerful things happen when you build an altar. Maybe, just maybe, in the middle of everything that's going on, maybe we wouldn't say, "Hey, you know, well, I have to be in lockdown and I have to be isolated." Maybe we can make a decision. No, while I'm here, I'm going to build an altar. Maybe what we're doing, in fact, is that we are resetting the order of the world. And what we're bringing about is a kingdom order, God's order, building an altar. See, powerful things happen when men and women of faith built an altar. When Daniel built an altar, God closed the mouth of the lion. When Moses built an altar, the Lord parted the Red Sea. When Sarah built an altar, the Lord gave her a baby, Isaac. When Lazarus built an altar, the Lord raised him from the dead. I want to encourage you, nothing you face today is out of God's control. I want to encourage you today to build an altar. Build an altar and a moment of intimacy with God, moments of intimacy with God. Pour over his word. Pour over his scriptures. Allow God's word to be in you. Allow his presence to be in your home. The Bible says that blessed are they that dwell in your house. I want to encourage you in this season, allow the Lord to be allow his presence to dwell, not just visit temporarily, not just stop in from time to time, but allow his presence to dwell in the name of Jesus. The second thing that Isaac did was that Isaac pitched a tent. Pitching a tent, what is that? That speaks of focusing on family life. That speaks of focusing on your home. He pitched a tent. In other words, he ensured that there was an environment of shelter, an environment of safety, and an environment where they could come together. Hey, right now, there are many people who have to come together. And we could either look at it like, "Oh no, how are we going to get through this?" Or we could look at it like, "Wow, this is, what an incredible opportunity." For many of us, we've never had this opportunity before, or certainly not for a very long time. I know right now there are a whole lot of wives who are just over the moon, because all the jobs that their husband said, "I'll do it when I've got some time," now they've got some time. I know already for Ratini and I, Ratini's already got a big to-do list, and I've already been to Bunnings at least once in the last few days. I'm kind of, waiting for the day when the doors open again. But anyway, she's having a great time, and no, to be honest, it's just what an incredible opportunity it is to sow into our home, to sow into our marriage, to sow into our children. I know for our children, Ratini and I have been, we've been really planning and making sure that this time is productive. So we've really focused on ways that we can homeschool our children in this next little season. They're going to be home for a few weeks and maybe longer, and so we've got a homeschooling schedule. And so for our children, we're going to teach them. In fact, we've got it planned out like an entire day. So at 9 o'clock, we're going to teach them home economics, which literally means they learn how to make a decent coffee. We're also going to teach them engineering. And what that means is that they're going to learn how to operate the vacuum cleaner and the washing machine. I think that's awesome. We're also going to teach them physical education. So we want to make sure that they get some exercise in their daily, daily exercise. And so that for them means carrying the rubbish bag outside to the waste bin and recycling outside. So that's awesome. Physical education is covered. We're also going to teach them chemistry. In other words, learning how to disinfect the bathroom, learning how to bleach areas that need to be cleaned. We're also going to teach them geography. And so what that means is we're going to show them where their toys actually are supposed to live. We're going to teach them how to move it from the floor where they left it to the box or the cupboard where it's supposed to live. We're also going to teach them orienteering. In other words, how to find the washing basket with dirty washing and bring it down to the washing machine. That's awesome. We're going to teach them horticulture. In other words, we're going to teach them how to chop vegetables. We're going to teach them science, which literally is learning how to take hot water and soap or dishwash liquid and learning how to put those two elements together with dirty dishes. Incredible. We're going to teach them, and then finally we're going to put them into, like, we're going to have an after-school club for them, which means that they get to go to their room and be quiet. I mean, we're just excited. It's going to be an amazing homeschooling program for our children. But all seriousness, let's make this a time where we pitch a tent and we sow into our families. We sow into those that we love. We sow into our marriages. And that through this, our family unit will emerge stronger. Our family unit will emerge even, even more united. Isaac pitched a tent. And then the third thing that Isaac did was he dug a well. In other words, digging a well speaks of provision. He dug a well. He wasn't sitting back. He was proactive. He wasn't just kind of searching and calling people and asking people. He heard from the Lord. And I want to encourage you that at this moment, especially for some people, again, where provision has been lost, I want to encourage you, seek God and hear the voice of the Lord around how you can build provision. But build provision, dig a well. And I want to encourage you that through this season, I believe what God is doing, He is resetting our kingdom order. Because for many of us, we have focused on digging the well first instead of building an altar first. Many of us, we're focused on pitching the tent before building the altar. But I want to encourage you, what a great opportunity to restore kingdom order into our lives. Number one, build the altar. Number two, pitch the tent. And number three, dig the well. And I believe that as we begin to align those things, that the Lord is going to cause all of our enemies to make peace with us. The Bible says to us at the end of this passage, after Isaac had done that, that Abimelech, who previously had pushed them away, came to him. And Isaac said to him, listen, why have you come to me? And Isaac said, he said, we saw clearly that the Lord was with you. And so we said, there ought to be a sworn agreement between us. I believe that as we set up kingdom order, that our enemies will make peace with us, and that those who are around us will come to us and make a sworn agreement with us. I believe that job opportunities will come. I believe that financial opportunities will come. I believe that you won't have to chase it, but the Lord is going to bring it to you as you set up kingdom order, building an altar, pitching a tent, and digging a well. Right now, for those of you who are watching it, maybe some of you are saying, look, I don't have my own personal relationship with Jesus. There are some of you now who are saying, look, I once knew God, but I'm not right with God today. And maybe there are some of you even right now who are saying, look, I'm not sure. I'm kind of, I'm skeptical of all that stuff. Well, I want to encourage each and every one of you that I grew up in a Christian home. And when I was 13 years old, I didn't want anything to do with that. And I totally went away from the Lord for the next 8 years. And then during those 8 years, my mom began to pray fervently for me. In the middle of all the famine that I was in, my mom began to pray. And then at the age of 21, I gave my life to Jesus. And I want to encourage you that when I gave my life to Jesus, I thought God could never forgive me. God could never take me back. But I discovered something incredibly powerful. There's nothing you can do that God can't forgive you for. There's nowhere that you've been that God can't rescue you. There's nothing that you've done that would cause you to be outside of God's grace. And so right there, where you are, maybe you're in a lounge room, maybe you're at work, wherever you are watching this device, I believe that the power of God is right there where you are, right in your space. And right now, I believe that there are many who are saying, listen, it's time for me to come home. It's time for me to get my life right with God. It's time for me to make my peace with God. And if that's you right now, and maybe even you're skeptical, can I encourage you? In fact, can I dare you? Take a chance on God. What have you got to lose? I tell you what, if you take a chance on God, I know this to be absolutely true. He's going to meet you where you are. He's going to show up in your situation. He's going to show up and he's going to, and you're going to see the peace of God come into your life, and you're going to see your life totally transformed. Take a chance on God. And so right there, right.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like more information, please visit our website, forwardchurch.com.